Now they say everything bigger in Texas.
That's true, but what about the stories, the one we all knew?
We're here for the first episode.
We are?
We're going to talk about Friday Night Lights.
So I love that we're kicking it off with one of my favorite topics in Texas.
Well, and I think this will probably turn into probably 8 or 10 episodes.
This is the gift that keeps on giving. Absolutely.
I do think we need to do a quick shout out to Wild Cigars and Burleson, Texas for letting us have a spot to produce this thing. Okay, I'm Melissa McGavick, co-host here at Never Have Y'all Ever from Houston, Texas.
I'm Lindsay Lockhart Flynn, and I'm from West Texas. I'm from Midland. And we're here today at Wild Cigar, so thanks to them for having us. Yes, so why don't, Melissa, why don't you kick us off with our five facts on today's topic?
Facts, Friday Night Lights and football culture, specifically in the Permian Basin.
Yes.
Your
yes,
homeland.
It is my
homeland. All right. So fact number one, Friday Night Lights, A Town, A Team, and A Dream is a nonfiction book by H.G. Bissinger, published in 1990. The book, which the TV series is also based on, chronicles the 1988 season of the Permian High School Panthers football team in Odessa, Texas, not too far from Midland. Bissinger spent a year in Odessa exploring the town's social and economic fabric, all woven tightly around the threads of high school football. Fact number two, in towns like Midland and Odessa, high school football games are significant events. Local businesses often revolve their operations around game schedules, and the economic boost from games is palpable, with restaurants, sporting goods stores, and other establishments seeing increased activity on game days. Texas small towns often have, this is fact number three, pardon, Texas small towns often have intense local rivalries that can divide communities. Games between local teams are not just sporting events, but are deeply personal, reflecting years of history and rivalry. Fact number four, some Texas high school football stadiums rival college-level facilities. This is true. This is huge. In size and quality, reflecting the financial investment and value placed on this sport. And last, and fact number five, the pressure on young athletes in these small towns can be immense. Scouts from colleges frequently visit to recruit top talent, and the community's expectations can weigh heavily on these players.
Yeah.
All right. So for any listeners that are not familiar with Friday Night Lights, hopefully that gives them a little bit of context of what we're talking about today.
The background.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think the first thing that really hits me whenever you read off the fact number one is that, you know, it refers to Midland and Odessa being close together. And mm-hmm. I cannot think of two West Texas towns that could be worlds apart. I mean, they are so incredible.
Figuratively?
Oh, my gosh. They're so, it's so different one from the other. In fact, it's funny because whenever I travel, people are like, you know, oh, where are you from? I'm like, oh, I'm from West Texas. And they're like, oh, Odessa and Midland. I'm like, no. From Midland.
From Midland. It's like, right.
Let's get that right. And Odessa people feel the exact same way.
Sure.
I mean, it's that much heated passion. And it's all rooted within football. That is sure. exactly where it came from. You know, so that's, you know, kind of, what about you?
What polarizes the two towns is the football.
100%.
Is football.
Well, what's funny about it is that like within Odessa and Midland, you have crosstown rivalries. So take, for instance, Odessa. You have Odessa High, and then you have Odessa Permian.
Oh,
so
gotcha.
They hate each other.
Right.
Well, in Midland, you have Midland High, and then you have, you know, now it's Legacy High. It used to be Lehigh.
Right, which is where you went. Yeah.
So then you hated each other across town.
Sure.
When you have Odessa and Midland, you're in close proximity. So then you get the kind of the Odessa, you know, hatred. You know, for the, you know, Midland Lee, we could not stand Mojo. So it's a really cool dynamic whenever it comes to football because you're
what is Mojo?
You're constantly
for our listeners.
So Mojo is actually the very first cry at one of the, just a shout out from a fan at a Permian game that happened, I think, in the 70s.
Oh, wow.
So there's no rhyme or reason to it other than it was just somebody yelled it out and it stuck. And now it's kind of like their war cry.
I got it. That's interesting. Yeah. They do that same thing in rugby in a way. They have like a war. Each team has like these war cries, and it's sort of like gets them pumped up before the game starts going. But I think for our listeners, one thing that's we need to note is what literally Friday Night Lights are. So the Friday Night Lights are the literal lights at the football field or the football stadium. And because this is more of a small town Texas tradition, I think a lot of people relate those Friday Night Lights to that's the biggest thing going on in town. I mean, if you're driving around, that's when the games are, is Friday nights, and the lights are on. And from anywhere you are, especially in West Texas, where it's so very, very, very flat, you can see Friday night lights for miles. So you know that's where the action's happening. That's where things are happening. So that's the literal meaning of Friday night lights. So, and I do think this is an interesting subject for us because it's a nice jumping off point on while we're the same age, me being from Houston, certainly, first of all, Friday night lights would have no competition or a lot of competition rather in the city, right? You would nobody would notice Friday night lights. So, and I grew up inner loop Houston, so inner city Houston, and we didn't even have, I mean, we had a practice field at our high school, but we didn't have a field. I mean, we actually, so the inner city schools, public schools anyway, which we actually all shared one big stadium and we would take turns playing games there. And so the whole Friday night light culture was really, it's something in some ways I relate to as a Houstonian, as a Texan for sure. I think the football culture in Texas is just so deep that I kind of growing up definitely knew about it. But I thought that just kind of like everybody did that in America. So, you know, I mean, it's just, and if you're a boy, for sure, like you in our generation, you went to school, you played football. I mean, very, you are hard pressed to find a young man that did not play, even if he wasn't good, even if, I mean, you just did.
It was a right.
So, I mean, And I mean, but it also wasn't really even a choice in a lot of ways, I think, for a lot of young men, like you just, you went to school and you played football. So I think that was part of growing up in still in the city for sure. But the whole Friday night light thing is not the same in an urban area like Houston, probably like Dallas, San Antonio, Austin, like it is in West Texas and a lot of the small towns all throughout Texas.
You know, it's funny to me because I've always wondered if there would be such a big West Texas football, you know, fan base, if you will, or that it would be this important to people had Permian not happened. You know?
So what do you mean by that?
Well, so when Permian went on their streak in the 80s, I mean, they had a football dynasty. They were winning, you know, national championships left and right.
At a high school level.
At a high school level. They were just, you know, slaughtering, you know, other teams. And it really drew attention out to West Texas. And then, you know, everybody, then it was like all of those parents that grew up in that era, you know, I mean, went on to raise children that also thought that, you know, football was a way of life. And so it's kind of funny because it's
a lot of families a ticket, you know, to college.
But it's kind of funny for me because it's like, is it, was it the chicken or was it the egg first? You know what I mean? Was football out there before Permian or was, you know, I mean, that's not what I'm trying to say. Like, would football have been a big deal out there had it not been for the Permian streak?
I do think that, I mean, and this is just my opinion, but based on Texas history and just sort of the culture here in Texas, certainly native Texans, we have this sort of independent fight spirit. So for lack of, you know, war going on, I think football sort of gives us that outlet.
That battle.
Yeah, it gives us that battle. And it gives us like something to have allegiance with. And, it's you know, and one of the facts talking about just also everything it brings with it, the culture and how the, you know, the town, especially in small towns, like where you're from, how the restaurants get involved, all the small businesses and I'm sure even the banks and whatever, and everybody's got their swag and everybody's got their team and everybody's at the game. I mean, it's just, it's at the level of participation that way, like almost like college football or pro football. And it's high school. I mean, it's kids.
It's
kids.
It's funny because like the first thing that comes to mind whenever you say that is, you know, NFL has super fans. And so there was this this couple at Lee whenever I was in high school there, and they were super fans. Their daughter had long since graduated, probably 20 years before I was even there. And yet they all, they would show up, mom and dad and daughter, every game, every player knew him. Every band member knew him. All of us cheerleaders would go over and say hi. And they literally did it up until the day they both died. And I mean, that's how serious, you know, of a religion it is out there.
It's huge. And then, you know, even talking about back to the facts, the amount of money and work that goes into these stadiums is insane.
It is.
I mean, it's like, especially in these smaller towns. I know, like in Melissa, Texas, actually, they have one of the biggest high school football stadiums, bigger than a lot of colleges.
Yeah.
And it just blows my mind. And then also, as I got older and going out of Texas and living outside the state and realizing like this is actually something that's very special about the state of Texas. I didn't play football. I never dated a football player.
Okay.
Did you?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I had my high school sweetheart that was the linebacker and I was the cheerleader. Let me tell you what. West Texas stereotypes exist for a reason. I mean, the cheerleader, the football player, the blonde. I had a Trans Am as my first car.
Yes.
It was ridiculous. Looking back on all of these stories and these, you know, these pictures of me standing in front of this car, it's just like stereotypes exist out there for a reason.
Well, we've talked about before the nights before a game, and you told me a story about like what they would do to your Trans Am.
Yes.
Like, painting it with shoe polish and all the things.
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about that.
Absolutely.
So our listeners
know. It was a big crosstown rivalry. That year it was Midland High. Mm-hmm. And I had stayed up all night and I'm a sleeper, always have been. Like I need at least 6 hours. You know? Yeah. And so I got home around like, I don't know, 2:30 AM. Anyway, get up the next morning, go out, and my car was in my driveway, and they had taken shoe polish to every single mirror, to every single window. They had paintballed my entire car. So here I am, Windexing everything, getting it off. I'm pissed. And then I'm going to be late for the pep rally that morning is what I'm thinking. I go to open my car door, and there was Vaseline underneath the handle.
Oh, man.
And I don't do slimy shit. Like, at all. It absolutely rocked my world. But I just, to this day, I still don't know who did that. But I do, I have to give credit where credit is due with the Vaseline, because I'm still haunted for life. I mean, I still don't trust door handles to this day if I can't see under them. You know, but it was fun. But, you know, I also knew back then growing up in it, we were also state champions. And I knew that that was special.
Right.
You know, I knew that I was living, you know, this really unique high school career because of all of these things.
Right.
And it was.
Did it not feel natural? Like, did you not know that not everybody did that?
I didn't.
Yeah.
I really didn't. I didn't know much of the world. I mean, that was my world. So I didn't think about that. And it's funny because it's like when you talk about your, you know, high school, you know, and not having football, it blows my mind.
Well, and there were in miniature ways. I mean, we had a football team, right? But they were city boys.
Yep.
And the minute we played somebody from the burbs, we would get murdered. I mean, just absolutely clobbered.
Yeah.
But there were things, you know, we had homecoming, the prank thing. For sure.
Okay.
I remember one year the football team let loose a small herd of baby pigs throughout the high school.
That's amazing.
And if you've ever seen, I mean, and my high school was huge, thousands of kids, right? And we're in the city, so we're like four stories high, stairs. I'm talking pigs running throughout the high school, people trying to catch them, which is, if you've never chased a pig,
they're super fast.
They're super fast and hard to get hold of. But they did that. And I do remember, I don't know if it was Vaseline, but it was something slippery they put on the stairs.
Yeah.
That was dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, like students and teachers were all slipping and sliding everywhere. So definitely there were some things that were still... I think part of that tradition, you know, the pranks and stuff. And then, of course, the mums, which we've talked about is a whole nother episode. One of the things that's part of Texas culture that I think we grew up with and thought everybody did.
Yeah.
It turns out it's kind of a Texas thing.
Yes.
But again, that's for another day. But yeah, no, football, we were a baseball school.
Okay.
So that was our big thing.
I was about to ask, there had to be in Texas some other sport that.
And that's what we were known for sure. Bel Air. Okay. I mean, we actually, right out of high school, produced Major League Baseball players.
Really?
So it was a big deal. And then because we were such a baseball school, the town, the area I grew up in, which is actually a town inside of Houston, the Little League, I mean, so kiddos, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, I mean, are going to state.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how baseball. But football, I mean, but again, even still, it was definitely one of those things, like if you were a young man, you just played, you did. And then another thing about football two-a-days,
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
I don't know if our audience or listeners would know that that's the level it goes to at high school. I mean, these guys are up at 4 a.m. practicing, then they're doing school, then they're practicing again, and then they're doing multiple games and all the things. It's an insane, I mean, you live, breathe football. Another thing I didn't know until I moved out of Houston is I had never heard of six man.
Okay.
So that was a whole new.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, do what?
They'll do anything to play. Yeah. That honestly demonstrates how important it is. They don't care how small the school is. If they don't have enough people to play, they'll lower the players on the field down to
and
six.
How many players on the field in a normal game?
I think it's 11.
11.
It's 12.
Sorry. I don't know. I do know that, but for our listeners, six man is for the really small towns that are really far apart from each other that literally don't have the class population to have a full-size football team.
No.
So they evolved and adapted and created what's known as six-man football. And even that has a huge following.
It does.
The towns that play six-man, everybody in the town goes for Friday night.
And those are the huge towns. I mean, all of the town squares are decorated.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, going back to your point, you were saying that Bel Air cranks, you know, out baseball players at a really young age.
Sure.
And, you know, one of the things in West Texas was GMFL. And they literally start the boys off at 2. So a lot of people don't understand.
Years old.
Sorry, not 2 years old. Sorry. Second grade.
Second grade.
Yeah. You're like, oh my God.
They're just walking.
Exactly. Like, and tell me they have helmets on.
Yeah.
That's how young they start them off. This is second grade. They're considered a freshman.
Sure.
Third, sophomore, fourth, junior, fifth. And then sixth grade, you kind of start going in and you can start playing like junior high and stuff like that. Sure. So it is a feeder system all the way up and through high school. It's crazy.
Well, and, you know, like our facts said, you know, so many of these games, by the time they get to high school, they have recruiters coming,
you know,
looking for them.
Oh, totally.
For college,
and
then for pro, which is an intense amount of pressure. And I'm sure not only pride, I think it brings to the family, but to the town that's supporting that player. I think we put so much pressure on our kids these days. I can't imagine what kind of pressure that brings to these students. And I don't think it's going anywhere.
I don't either. I don't either.
I'm going to be interested to see what our listeners have to say. I'm sure almost every one of them, even if they didn't play football, or maybe they're like me and they went to school in the city, I'm sure almost any Texan, native Texan, anybody that was here for high school would have some kind of story
Absolutely.
Or experience with Texas football.
Yeah.
So
it's some of my favorite, you know, memories when I look back.
Yeah.
You know, because it was so fun. So, yeah.
Give us your favorite memory of a game.
Oh, gosh. There's so many games because our seasons were so long.
Sure.
You know, because we went, you know, we had a normal season, but we would go all the way up to state. Okay. That actually reminds me. I've got my favorite story. Okay. So, it's our very first year to go to state. And it's 1999.
Perfect.
I'm a sophomore. My sweetheart, my high school sweetheart, was a senior at the time.
Perfect.
And so we got to go play at Texas Stadium, which was the old one in Arlington.
Oh, yeah.
That's
enormous.
It's been leveled, right?
So
this isn't like dating me a little bit. I don't know what is because it's like dust.
Well, and for our listeners, Texas Stadium is where the Dallas Cowboys used to play.
Yes. Thank you. So we were going and it was, I think, the day before the game. And we were supposed to play Katy. And Katy was a hoss. Katy is down by Houston.
Katy's down by there in the Burbs. I mean,
so you know exactly who I'm talking about
here.
And they had quite a little legacy, you know, going on there for a while too. So this was like a big time matchup.
Sure.
So
also for our listeners, Katy's down by Houston, 250 miles from Arlington. Arlington is where the Cowboys Stadium was. And then for context, Midland is what, 5 hours? So we're talking about two teams that are driving across the state of Texas for this game.
Yeah.
So that's huge.
So it was. So they get on the bus and this is Katy. Our guys are loaded.
Mm-hmm.
Katy's is loaded. And there was, I believe, a second or third string player on Katy that year who had forged a permission slip from like a principal or a teacher. And somebody found out about it and the administration pulled them out of the game.
Oh, no.
So they had just beaten San Antonio MacArthur And anyway, they had to go find San Antonio MacArthur's coaches who were in a hunting blind in the middle of nowhere. Nobody can locate these men.
That's funny.
Yeah, because they were like, screw it. You know, season's over. I'm going to go shoot shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they went, found them. They had to reissue this team, all of their pads, all of their helmets, like the whole thing. So they show up, these poor guys. And we had Cedric Benson on our team at the time, and Cedric Benson was a running back that ended up running for,
say it a little slower, Cedric Benson.
Cedric Benson.
He's kind of a big deal.
He's a huge deal. Yes. Yeah. Played for UT and then went on to play for several teams in the NFL. And I mean, we smoked these poor guys. It was 56-0.
Oh,
it was, wow. It was a beauty, but like our guys felt like they had been shortchanged. But yeah, that's the one that'll always stick out. When you are trying to like contact coaches that are in a hunting blind, how much more Texas can you get?
Yeah, no, that's the Texas moment. Yeah, sure.
Definitely.
No, I think it's interesting. And then again, back to that stadium, just what it means. I mean, Roger Staubach. Staubach. Y'all have to forgive me. I'm not a football person, but I do know who he is. And that's his stadium. You know, Tom Landry, that's his stadium.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a big show.
Yes.
For high school kids.
Oh, yeah. It was huge.
To step up to.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a big, big, big deal.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet they felt like celebrities.
Oh,
but they
totally
were.
Yes.
To be honest.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of those guys still, you know, have the front page of the Midland Reporter, you know, newspaper where they're holding the trophy, and you know, it's fun. It's still fun to look back on.
So when you go back home, what do you see now, 2024, 25? What do you see as far as what, I mean, do the restaurants still participate? Or they have those pages up and framed in the, you know, on the walls at the bank?
They do.
You know, that kind of thing. Like,
they do.
Do you still see, yeah?
They do. So it's, you know, I go back and it's bittersweet because the old stadium that I cheered in, nobody plays there any longer because what do? They upgraded.
Right.
Because now everybody's throwing, you know, hordes of money into this thing.
Sure.
So the old stadium is there. It's just a practice field now.
Sure.
But yeah, you go into the little restaurants and stuff and it's still the community, you know, representing and supporting everybody. There's still the posters on the wall of the cheerleaders and,
yeah,
you know, all. But I haven't been back to a game since I graduated.
Wow.
So I'd really like to
do that.
We should actually plan on going one night and doing one of the Crosstown Rivals.
So it makes sense that, you know, this writer went out and wrote this book.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I think, have seen the show. We also talked about the movie with Jamie Foxx and Robert mm-hmm. De Niro.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think Friday Night Lights, Texas football culture is not lost on, you know, anybody that's heard of Texas or football.
Yeah.
So, but I don't... I do see why, again, looking back with the book, a lot of people don't even know it was a book,
right.
Really, you know, so that's interesting. But you grow, like I said earlier, growing up, it was just part of life. It didn't seem unique, mm-hmm. I guess, mm-hmm. is the word. So, but then stepping out and looking at it from the outside in and realizing how unique and wild it mm-hmm. actually is.
Yeah.
I can see where, you know, a book came out of it. And I think it's kind of cool that Bissinger went there for a whole year.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, really lived and breathed the culture to see what was happening in West Texas.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And you know what? I read an interesting stat about the book the other day is that 25 years after it was published, it was still selling 5,000 copies a day.
Yikes.
I mean, isn't that wild?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, over something that he just happened to select.
Sure.
That's still going so strong.
Well, and I think, so I guess my take on it is I don't think it's going anywhere. I think it's only getting bigger and more money getting poured into it.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that, you know, I do think the culture has probably started to become a little healthier, hopefully. I know that obviously, injuries and young kids getting concussions and stuff,
yeah.
You know, I think a lot more, even as an outsider and not a huge football fan, I know that that's turned a big corner and
yeah.
The impact that has on these kids. And so I hope that, even though the culture's not going anywhere, I hope that it's sort of shifted to a healthier, more balanced,
yeah.
Less concussed.
Does this make you glad that you have girls?
Yes, and I'm pushing golf.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, not
great.
Contact. Yeah.
The less contact, the better in any form of fashion.
Sure. So, yeah, no, that's all I've got to really say about Texas and high school football today. I know this is going to bring up some more, you know, we talked about in future episodes, breaking down a homecoming mom.
We have to.
I think, obviously, this is just high school football.
Right.
But there's a lot more here to cuss and discuss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Giddy up. All right. So the end of each episode, we're going to do a little fact or fiction. And this is, the idea is our name, Never Have You Ever, is inspired by the game Never Have I Ever, which of course is not just a text thing. I think every teenager in America has played some form of this in their life. But for us, it's Never Have You Ever. So we're talking about, legends and stories here in Texas. But the end of each episode, our awesome producer, Hassan, is going to hit us with a fact or fiction. And then Lindsay and I have to decide whether it's true or false. And which every one of us gets it wrong has to trade.
Yeah.
And we certainly invite listeners to participate with us.
Just don't be driving.
Yeah, just don't be driving.
Yeah, do not be listening.
All right.
All right, when you are.
All right. So Texas football related fact or fiction is hearing what we dressed up. What we just discussed. I'm going to pick a random selection of fact or fiction here.
We're going to test our chops.
No, they'll allow me. All right.
Thanks, dude.
Fact or fiction, football is so popular in Texas that there is a law protecting football game attendance as a valid reason for missing work or school.
I'm going to say in small towns, that's probably true. Here's the thing. Work or school's not going to be going on when there's a football game in a town like Midland. Like, so you're not missing work or school.
Yeah.
Because everybody at said work or school is at the game.
I'm gonna.
In the city, I don't think that would be an excuse.
I agree. I'm just going to say false. I think it should be true. But I'm going to say false.
Okay, what do we got?
Lindsay is correct. It is a fiction.
Mm-hmm.
While Texans love football, there's no law allowing excused absences for attending games. However, many schools and businesses unofficially accommodate big game days, which you talked about in the episode today.
All right.
There you go. Bottom was up.
Cheers, Texas. All right. Well, that wraps up. So you want to hit us with another one?
I'll hit you with another one. One more. Just to give you a chance to get in there and jump in there. One more. Fact or fiction, Texas high school football stadiums cost as much as professional stadiums in some states.
I'm going to say absolutely true.
Like our football stadiums and high school football stadiums are as expensive as pro football stadiums in other states.
Correct. I'm going to say true, and I'm going to base that. I don't know the numbers exactly, but the South Lake stadiums are supposed to just be monstrous and multi-million dollar builds. So I'm going to say that that's true.
Okay. I'm going to say false. Just because even if it's like, the Bengals or something, I mean, they've got it's a pro football team,
right?
Yeah. Browns. The Bengals are pretty good.
They're both pro football.
They're both pro.
I'm going to say, yes, well, he spent some serious money. I would say for sure college, but more than pro football stadiums, I don't think so.
Okay.
All right. True. Some Texas high school football stadiums, like the $70 million Legacy Stadium for Katy, rival the cost and grandeur of professional arenas in other states. I think you could probably split the baby on this, though.
Oof.
$70 million for Katy. We were just talking about Katy.
Wow. Katy Tigers, I believe it is.
It is?
Yeah.
Damn.
All right, we'll take a half drink.
There we go.
Yeah, cheers.
Cheers, dear.
Cheers.
That's political.
Cool.
All right. Well, I think that's it for us today.
Join us next time, Texas.
Definitely.
And everybody outside of Texas, we love you too. And we'll be discussing another piece of Texas.
Absolutely.
Texas.
Yeah.
Gather around, y'all. We're ready to share a Texas-sized story that's beyond compare.